Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Combine week is here, so we got to get some combine stories out of our own Lance Briggs and talk about the importance of this day, I guess. Also, looking into the cap increase that the Bears have, there's a little, we can add a few more players than we thought here, Lance. There's nothing wrong with having more money. So we got to get into all that. Of course, having some fun on this pod. There was some wild stuff this weekend, Doc. I mean, Justin Fields is a coward. Cam Newton's throwing haymakers. KD's getting called out his name. We got to get into everything on this pod. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Lance, what's going on, my guy? How you been?
What's up, Pat? Man, I'm good. I'm good. It's not a wild world, but it's a wild world when you allow the devil's playground to have fun in your head. That's what's happening a lot right now. A lot of speculation. A lot of people say this. A lot of people say that, and none of it is based off factual information.
My favorite thing is we live in a world where Justin Fields unfollowing the Bears causes pandemonium, but for some reason Matt Eberflus growing out a beard makes me feel more confident that the Bears are going to start winning more.
I think that has a bigger role in the Bears' success than Justin Fields unfollowing the Bears. Now that I believe is based in facts.
I mean, dog, look at this. This was me on Twitter. On the right, I believe we're on the right path. On the left, y'all know how we get down. Stop playing with us. Come on now.
Yeah. Like you, I love that.
I'm just saying, like, he showed up with the beard and the taper fade. Now it's like he finally stopped going to. Never mind. I was going to say a brand on here. They might sponsor one day. We're not going to throw them out there.
True. That's true. But it looked like a cut that was very super now.
Calm down there, Lance. Calm down. We need money on this show. Hey, let's jump into all the. Well, I mean, listen, you missed a week and you brought it up about the Devil's Playhouse. Let's start there. We'll get into the combine talk and all that, but let's start there. What were your thoughts when you saw everything that happened with Justin Fields unfollowing the Bears, Justin Fields unfollowing the NFL? Me and EO were on Friday, and I talked about how that actually does make a difference because people now, how the algorithms are set up, people you follow, you get videos from them. That's why I had to unfollow a lot of my dirtbag friends who follow some wild stuff out there, right? It's 9 a.m. I don't need to see that in the morning. But what were your thoughts when you saw the Justin Fields unfollow and the reaction to it?
Well, when I saw that he unfollowed, it piqued my interest to see how people were going to respond to this. You know, if people were going to say, oh, he unfollowed because that means, you know, because in the culture of social media, when a girl and a guy are dating and one unfollows the other, it is a clear sign that it is a breakup. Okay. So it's a sign that they're on the way down. Okay. So that in turn, when people see Justin Fields unfollow the Bears, is a red flag for a breakup of relationships. Okay, so that's what I wanted to see, but in the reality, that's not what the fact is. You know, the fact really is, you know, if you were a guy that a popular polarizing figure in your city or state or whatever in your profession, and you are attached to the Bears, you know, or whatever the biggest org that people like to follow, you're going to get a bunch of messages through them every morning. Just like you said, you get some wild messages, stuff you wake up at 9 a.m. You're going to wake up at all hours of the day seeing stuff that's said about you, whether it's good, whether it's bad. But I mean, after a year of being the most talked about figure, you know, and listening to people say, we got to get rid of him. We got to keep him, you know, get rid of him. You know what I mean? Like, again, it's still your life. You know what I mean? It's your life that everybody is making these comments on. And whether it's warranted or not, at some point, don't you get tired of it? Wouldn't you want to, like, it's season's over. And I know we're still the most talked about issue in the NFL, but I personally, I don't have any control over what happens at this point now. What I had control of was during the football season. Now I don't have control of this. Now it's up to the Bears. So me just listening to everybody comment on whether I need to be gone, go this place, or I need to stay, like, is that really my business?
What I've seen, what it feels like to me is the same pushback that people have given Draymond Green, the same pushback that people have given Paul George, the same pushback that people have given Kevin Durant. The former media doesn't like when new media, which is a lot of times younger players, players that are on the field. Michael Parsons has a podcast now, right? Justin Fields going on a podcast. They don't like it when the player gets to control what his narrative is. They like the stories. They like being able to spin it. They like being able to talk. They like being able to add a story in and create the, like you said, in the devil's mind, right? Like what you're putting into, right, the spin that I could put on the story. You can't put a spin on the story where Justin Fields just goes, man, I just got tired of seeing it.
Right.
And now the spin is just like, wait, he said that personally? It's coming straight from his mouth? Well, now we just got to spin something out there. And that's what it kind of turned into. Well, what's the underlying mean? And I think what's interesting, let me ask you this, as a player, because a lot of times in the NFL, when we hear people talk, the conversation is usually, well, of course he's not going to say what he really feels. He knows what happens if he does that. And so we can't take his words at face value. How often do you think you gave like the politician speech or the this is for the team rah-rah speech versus no, this is really how I feel and y'all should just take me at the words I'm saying?
I don't know. I'd say majority of the time I was able to articulate what I wanted to say and be able to satisfy it satisfy my answer in a pseudo kind of political and still get my point across. You know, I didn't answer it in a way that everybody answers that same question, you know, hey, why do you tackles, you know, or why, you know, or talking about another one of the teammates, you know, in that had glaring issues during that game. I'll bring the attention back to myself and plays that I could have done better and highlight a play that tackle that I miss in comparison to the guy that they were trying to call out during that interview. So, you know, like I said, this didn't happen my rookie year. You know, this is something that I learned how to do, you know, as I got older, and everybody doesn't have those skills right out the gates. You know, you have to learn that, and one of the best ways to learn it is in a media market like Chicago, you know, where you're getting cornered, you're left and right, and everybody's asking you all these questions, you know. But it certainly is a skill, and I think it's also a skill that Justin Fields has. He has a great grip on. Leadership skills kind of ooze from his interviews. You can see that.
So you do think that there is kind of like, I'll ask you this, from what you heard from the EQ podcast, from the unfollowing, all that, do you think that there's an underlying meaning here? Do you think that this, see, I said this when Justin Fields brought up the girl aspect, I was like, oh, so like, you mean like when young people will like just unfollow a girl just to get their attention and let them know that they unfollowing them? Be like, hey, I'm still over here. Y'all ain't looking at me. I'm still over here. I mean, like, how much do you think we can take Justin Fields at what he said in that interview at face value?
I mean, it's at this moment, I don't. There's too much of the public, you know, that want to speculate. They want to spin some story. So anything that he says is going to take a huge chunk of the population that are not going to take it at face value. You know, it's just, they want to be able to talk. I mean, in my house at on the practice fields, people want to talk about it. They want to get your spin. Oh, can you believe that he unfollowed? Can you believe, you know, like unfollowing is like the almighty breakup. Like it's, you know, it's the biggest thing that's happening. Oh man, he unfollowed. Can you believe that? You know, I'm like, son, I could unfollow you today. All right. That doesn't mean that I might follow you again tomorrow. You know, now, if I unfollowed you, if I tell my son, if I unfollowed you today, you think I stopped loving, I don't love you anymore? No, dad, but that's you. You know what I mean? No, that's you, dad. You know, all right. Well, you know, anybody can unfollow anybody. Doesn't have to mean that it's over.
Yeah, that's the part that I looked at where I was like, so he unfollowed the Bears. Okay. So what happens if the Bears decide to keep him and he doesn't follow them back? What? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like what happens if he's literally just like, I just want to not have that on my timeline. And it's so weird because it's such a polarizing player in Justin Fields. But realistically, when you look at the social media aspect of it, for so many people, this is real life. This is the only thing that matters. And in real life, if the Bears say we're going to keep Justin Fields, the social media stuff has nothing to do with it. You got to like, you know how wild you got to be on social media for somebody to be like, we're done with you.
It would have to have been something that was consistent over the last 3 years of his career, where it was, you know, his social media has been an issue for him, you know, and that's, it's not the case. Yep. You know, his character is not in question.
Even believe that he posts on it.
Right.
I look at his Instagram and I'm like, ad, maybe him here. He's in the pool and right, there's a dog in the picture. Maybe that's him. Ad.
Right.
It's all about business at the end of the day. Business is business. Stand on it. That's what I say. Let me ask you this, Lance, because that turned into a nightmare in itself. But I think now here is where so many talk about spinning stories. So many stories are going to be spun as we have the combine coming up. And I guess just speak to us, how important do you feel the combine realistically is for the guys that are going to be doing things? Because now the trend has started where the top quarterbacks aren't throwing. I don't have anything to prove. You got my college tape. You know who I am. I'll throw it my pro day. They're not risking their bodies nearly as much. You're seeing less people run the 40 time each year. Like, is the combine still as important as it once was?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's important, but I think it's how you look at it, you know. There's parts of it that I really dislike, you know, the poking, the prodding, you know, feeling like a piece of meat, you know, that part of it. But I do think that it's necessary to get some of these players that you're going to invest in to get a closer view and an opportunity to see them in a different light, you know, have conversations with them. Talk about terminologies, concepts, you know, how do you understand this? How do you understand that? You know, that I was never a fan of, you know, the Wonderlic test or some of these 4-hour tests that they put you through. I think that's ridiculous. I don't know if they still do the 4-hour tests. I know Seattle and New York.
They do. I think Justin had to take it when he got in, and he was like one of the highest scorers of the test in general. So,
yeah. You know, but the getting in front of the coaching staff and even for some of the ones that for me, I felt it wasn't a great experience going in with some of these teams. You know, I went in with the Cleveland Browns and I'm trying to think of who they had at the time. He had just come from Miami.
The GM there?
The coach had just come from Miami.
He was one of the guys in the middle of like, we're firing a coach every other week.
Yep. Yeah. And man, I can't think of his name right now, but as soon as I walked in, it was just high stress, just intense, you know, and them asking me questions about this, like, why would you do this? Why would you do that? And it felt like it was a dark room with a spotlight on my face, and you could just hear the voices coming out. Well, what did you do this for? Well, why did you do this? Why did you, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember leaving the meeting, and one of the last things that was said to me about, you know, it was about being a leader, and I said, well, I think I'm a leader, you know, and it was, well, are you even worth the shit? You know, it was one of those kind of comments, you know.
God dang.
Like, well, I mean, and I remember leaving that meeting, like, well, that went well.
Was that Crennel? Romeo Crennel?
Crennel.
Before him, I think Butch Davis. Butch Davis was going hard on you.
That whole, you know, that was their deal, you know. And the next was Kansas City, and at that time they had Dick Vermeil. And so when I walked in, like, I'm ready for whatever you have to throw at me. I'm ready. So when I walk in, Dick said, sit down. He was like, where were you at before? Where'd you come before this? I said, Cleveland. He said, all right, relax. He was like, relax. He was like, this is going to be nothing like what you just went through.
So they just knew.
They knew what was going on. You know, and of course, when I was with the Bears, and then Nathan Fasher, he's like, man, I went through the Cleveland deal too. They attacked me too. And I was like, okay, that's just their thing. That's the way they were doing it at that time.
That's so crazy. That's why Butch was only there. What was he there? 2 years? Wasn't there long.
Short. It was pretty short. But listen, to each their own. That's how they, you know, some of them, you know, they get a kick out of that stuff, you know, but whatever. It's a way to get up and close and personal and talk with somebody.
Yeah.
I was able to talk with Ron Rivera while I was there, and Mike Singletary, you know, and these guys, and no matter what they thought of you or think of you, those are conversations that, you know, when you run into them in a year or two, once you're on a team, you know, me and Ron had a conversation, you know, when he came to the Bears about that meeting and the things that I said and how he felt, how he took it versus how another coach took what I said, you know? And so it's all perspective. So one, you know, in his mind, he thought what I said had conviction and he understood. The other coach thought that, you know, that I was a knucklehead, you know, and I took the knucklehead route, you know? And so it's, you know, some guy, I think some are, they're set in how they feel about you, you know, and you're not going to change the way that they feel, you know, in the words. And others, you know, they get another light and they say, okay, this is okay. Now I understand your stance and why you did what you did. So, so yeah, the combine certainly has a place. Your film, it doesn't override your film unless your character is glaring, unless you have character issues.
It's interesting because I almost feel like now more people focus in on the, almost on the interview process a lot heavier than they do the actual measurables and things like that. And I think the young players now know that. That's why you don't see as many people going to the combine, especially if you're a top pick. It's like, I'm a top pick regardless. What do you want to measure my 40 time? Look at me blow past that DB. That's my 40 time, right? Like, are you want to measure my 20 shuttle, right? Look at me pancake that guy over there. That's what you need to be focused on. And it's almost like there's more power in the younger players here, but the interview process, maybe it hasn't changed, I guess, even back then, right? Like, people came in that interview process with their preconceived notions about you, and that's what they end up running with. Shout out to Cleveland for doing that. We appreciate that because we get Lance Briggs for, you know, his entire career. not a lot of good decisions made on that Cleveland team. I mean, 0-1-0-3.
right. Yeah.
But I just it's interesting to hear, right? Like the process that you went through, because that's probably a reason why for so long we ended up missing out on some good players. We ended up getting some good players when you had the right pieces in place at the coaching staff and stuff like that. We've gone through a rough stretch of coaches. Now it's about, right, like it almost feels like the Bears organization, the front office, has more of a hold on a lot of these meetings. And so me and EO talked about this. That interview process to me makes or breaks everything with this. Do we, if we feel that the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, talent-wise, he's a young, talented player. He can play football. Can he play it at the NFL level is the question. And what kind of teammate, what kind of leader is he going to be? I think the interview process in this is more important than any numbers Caleb will go out there and put up.
Yeah, Will. But you got to also realize that he's coming from he'll be prepped and primed for this. You know, this is his agent and his circle know how important this is for him, because one of the big things for him is what you said. You know, what kind of teammate is he? Can he lead? You know, I think for him, there are probably more questions off the field than there are on.
Yeah.
You know, and so the interview for him is it's very important. So that's something that I'm sure that he will get top-notch preparation prior to him sitting in front of any coach, team, or anybody for the combine.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like when you – maybe that goes back to our Justin Fields conversation, right? Are a lot of these stories just stories that we've made up in our heads? Are a lot of these stories just stories that are being spun, the narrative that's being creative? Because let's be real, the biggest knock on Caleb Williams this season, minus the fumbles, a lot of fumbles, guys. There's a lot of fumbles with Caleb Williams this year. But minus the fumbles, the biggest knock is him crying in his mom's arms.
Well, not winning the big games.
Not winning big games as well. But he won some of those big games the year before.
I mean, he has won some games, but the biggest question mark though for him is, and he consistently win the big games, and he did not. You know, that's one thing that he did not. That, and this is on the field, you know, not throwing on time, you know, creating with his legs, which is very familiar with our current Bears quarterback. So, you know, and then outside of what on the field, you know, is that is exactly what you're saying. The, you know, is he mentally tough? Is he mentally ready for the NFL game? Because if you're not consistently winning the big games in college, when you play against the top teams who are more evenly matched, then you're going to get to the NFL, and there you're going to be against a lot of evenly matched teams. You're going to be against the best at the defensive players that the U.S. has to offer. So now, you know, if you're not winning, how are you going to handle it? How is the most commercialized, most taped, most videoed player on each team going to handle, you know, adversity and the lows, you know? And so it's one of those deals. And you look at Bryce Young too. You say, okay, we had Bryce Young. Bryce Young, he won a lot of those big games. He had Alabama's team, you know, personnel, but he won those games. You know, we trade away picks and we pick him up in Carolina, and we give away everybody or don't surround him with much talent at all, and he struggles. So most more than likely, Caleb's going to go to a team that struggled the previous year. That's obviously why they're getting the first pick. Right. So initially, he's not going to be, or most likely, he's not going to be surrounded by the best talent in the NFL. How is he going to manage and maneuver through the mud before you get out of it, or to help get his team out of it?
Yeah, no, that's really what it comes down to, and it always makes it interesting because it's almost as if the quarterback position is just viewed as, okay, you're a god. You come here and you will fix everything. And it's like, well, the reason you're here is because you had a veteran quarterback the year before who probably could have navigated your system, but the center died. and you had no left tackle and you had no right tackle, and so he's running for his life every play. How's that changed now, right? Like, how do you change that out? And that's the conversation that the Bears are dealing with here with their future, right? In all reality, if Caleb Williams were to come to the Bears, I would feel like he's got a little bit of a leg up coming here versus going to Washington, right? Where, you know, it's question marks on the O-line all the way across. You got Terry McLaurin out there. So, yeah, he's got a receiver option. But, like, do you feel like there's a lot of offense going there? You look at the New England Patriots the same way. I think the Bears are a better position than where the teams behind them are. And that comes from Ryan Poles doing great GMing, great trading, great planning, and getting the first overall pick another year in a row. And now you're sitting there asking yourself, okay, do you keep building the team, or do you continue to go out there and feel like you're in a good enough place to add the quarterback? But with all that being said, the increase in the cap now does make that conversation a lot more interesting. Bears get a $30 million increase in the cap, with the cap rising $30 million. They now sit at about $82 million in the offseason. More money, Lance. More money. Does this change your mindset at all on how you go about building the team? Because now, realistically speaking, if you were to draft the young quarterback, the new quarterback, you now have more money to put pieces around him that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do if you didn't have the money. You only draft him and you're like, we're rolling out there, same line, same receivers, all of that. Well, you add a couple young receivers in there as well, but still.
Well, I mean, one thing it helps the conversation of re-signing Jalen Johnson, you know.
That
certainly helps with those negotiations. And I know that the Bears in the league, they all knew that this day was coming anyway, you know. And so you wait till now and then you start negotiating with Jalen from a business standpoint. But yeah, it's hard to say, all right, this is what the Bears should do in the draft until we've seen what they do in free agency.
Yeah.
Free agency has to come first, because we can say, you know, they should draft this player or that player. Then we see free agency and it's like, oh, well, they've filled that need. Well, then, okay, that changes the board. So the reality is, let's find out what happens in free agency and what the Bears do in free agency. And then that will dictate how we shape what they should probably do or what we think they'll do in the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think there's so many names out there as well, right? You look money-wise, right? And for the Bears' needs right now, you go – if you want to fix your defensive line, you got a shot. you got a real shot here, right? Justin Madubuike out there, if he doesn't end up getting tagged. You got Danielle Hunter out there. You got Chris Jones out there. You got Chris Jones, you know, listen, I hope they do bring him back in Kansas City. I love the fact that he's like, I ain't going nowhere. That's a big tag. That's a big dollar sign on Chris Jones's name. So I'll be intrigued to see what Kansas City does, knowing that they got to pay a wide receiver on the other side or draft. Well, they got to find somebody to catch the football, because Kadarius Toney's on Instagram Live right now. See, that's what I'm worried about Instagram. When I got Kadarius Toney on Instagram, then I'm worried about the social medias. But if you could, of course, Jalen Johnson, he's taken care of. You've got, I'd probably say, about $62 million left somewhere in there to play with. Where are you focusing at money-wise right now?
Well, it's got to start in the trenches. You know, it's got to start in the trenches. So, you know, a center. I just saw somebody release one of their centers around the league. But, you know, you look at a center, you know, you look at a potential defensive lineman, O-lineman, there's a potential, you know, there's, to me, those are the top potential wide receiver. You know, all of those things can reshape the way that you approach the draft, you know. And I do think there's some potential there for some top wide receivers, some tall ones, you know, and T. Higgins and Mike Evans. you know, there's certainly some centers that you can bring in that you know have proven themselves, that proven that they can play at a high level in the NFL. And there's certainly some top interior pass rushers that have proven that they can not only get to the highest level, but they can win Super Bowls because, you know, not solely, but mostly because of the pressure that they provide.
When you look at the center position, I think that's the most important position. Where are you at on draft versus veteran? Because the conversation to me has been Bears have an opportunity to go get a bunch of guys here. I think Jackson Powers is a guy that really stands out from Oregon. Where would you rather go if you go either way, Justin Fields or Caleb Williams? Would you rather go veteran center, experienced center, been in the NFL, or go with the young rookie that allows you to have the cash control, but that you feel is a first round level talent, almost a Darnell Wright situation?
It depends on what we can get in this draft. It depends on picks, placement, what kind of deal that we can make. By trading back, is which situation provides the most positive situation for us. So if I were to go, if there were a top five center available in free agency, I can get him for whatever, you know, he'll take, you know, 15 mil off of this year's this year's cap. And then I can go into the draft and I can focus on these other positions, or I can get a receiver and I can get a center.
Right.
So now that changes. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting Marvin Harrison Jr. or anything like that. I can focus on getting, you know, a top tackle. You know, I can trade back and get more picks, get into the second round. It's if I don't get the draft or the trade that I want in the draft, then maybe I do need to get the center, but I have to get the center in the second or third round.
Right.
There's a lot of dynamics here, and I'm sure that it's like trying to break down like a federal crime, and you have your thumb
the strings
connected to this one, and they're connected here, and different colored ones, and they're like, whoa, this could happen. You know, it's fun, but it's also kind of a crazy time where you're trying to think about every possible situation and how can we best put ourselves in a position to win. So I don't want to say it's a problem that I wouldn't want to have. I think that's the fun part of what you're doing. You know what I mean? Yes, your job is on the line, but at the same time, if you do your job well, you know what I mean? Or shoot, if you do your job half decently, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You
know? A good GM in the NFL is hitting at a like 52% rate. On like draft picks and signings. It's like, hey, if you do just a little bit better than good, you're great.
Right. I mean, I'm always going to say if I were the GM and I have my scouts and they're telling me about this player and why this player is so good, you know, the first thing I'm going to say is, what do they look like on tape? Like, who is this guy on tape?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to – don't tell me he's 6'4", he's this, he's that, he benches this. No, tell me about his tape. That's what I want you to tell me about first. All right, tell me about his tape. Let's watch a few games together. And then we can say, okay, I see what you were saying. You know, or I don't know about this guy. You know, I don't know about this guy. You know, he doesn't look consistent at all. You know, and now the other questions arise. Okay, so how productive was he last year? You know, and then when did he get his first start? And let me see what he had from his first start to now. You know, like this is real stuff. You know what I mean? Oh, man, but he ran a 40 in this time and he did this. No. I want to know, see how he developed from his first snap to his last snap. All right. I want to see if he's improved in his play, not his highlights. Everybody's got great highlights. I want to see how this guy plays football.
Yeah, and that's what I think is interesting on both aspects is in the NFL, right? Like in correct me if I'm wrong, but like if you've got a premier center on the market, it probably means he's not a premier center, because usually good centers don't end up getting let go by their teams.
Very great point.
Like I would say right now, if you were going to go veteran center, you could go Evan Brown. Evan Brown, solid guy, played in the Shane Waldron system out in Seattle. That's the guy I've kind of been eyeballing because I think that he's an affordable guy, a journeyman guy that can come in, give you a spot start while you got a young guy developing.
But and you want to go there too. You have an inside voice in Waldron that can could vouch for him.
Yes, yes, and I think that the part that you've got that side of it where, okay, solid guy, good guy, not great, but can get the job done. And then you have a guy like Connor Williams, who is available in free agency now, if he's going to get a deal done, who comes from Miami, who was having a phenomenal season, but he tore his ACL. And that's usually the two options where you see guys end up hitting the market, where you got to take the chance on, okay, what's the stability? How's the knee? How's the future? How long is he going to be able to play on this? He's in a car crash every play. Or we got the guy that's kind of okay, but like we know we're going to have to replace him eventually. That's where I look at the draft and maybe going with a young center as the better option, just because, you know, at least if you do your scouting right, you do all the process where you say from freshman to senior year, how did he improve? You at least feel confident in the fact that, okay, we got our guy. We got the guy that we feel can make these plays, not the guy that, like, he went down to injury and so he was available, or he's a journeyman guy, he's a veteran guy.
Okay, I can see that. Now, you have to also know that listen, our draft picks aren't unlimited.
Yeah.
Oh, and the year previous and this year, I think there was a focus, especially early on offensive players, you know. Yeah. They picked up defense a little bit later on. But if we're trying to build, now are we going to be able to build and within the first three rounds of this draft, are we going to be able to build with pieces that we can put, let's say, our elite type players on defense? If right. We can fill that need on defense, or are we going to fill that need with the center? If we can get a center that can service us, and we can put elite pieces around us,
yeah,
and see how this center works out for us this year, and then the following year, you know, hey, if it doesn't work out, then we can get an elite type center. You know, there's got to be some sort of give and take, and figure out, okay, if we don't get that center in the second round, but we can get the three technique we're looking for, let's take the three technique and. You know, I mean, we get this that center in that and free agency.
So your draft plan is more best player available than drafting for need at that point there, because I think
it's both.
I think best player available, where the Bears are right now at 9, and we don't know what they're going to do on the day. I think best player available would be somebody on the defensive end. You might get a Dallas Turner that falls at 4, a Jared Verse, right, where you can address that edge rush position without having to pay $20 million, or Roma Dunze might be there, right? But there's players on both sides. Mm-hmm. I don't think that player is the center, right? I don't think that guy is Jackson Powers at 9.
Correct, it's not.
So in that scenario, right, but it is something where, do I think Jackson Powers will have a 10-year career or more where he's a very above-average center in the NFL, a very good center in the NFL, and that's something that the Bears do need for stability on their line? Could I then move back maybe? Like, there's some people that say you shouldn't take a center in the first round ever. Like, that's a position you don't take first round. And I'm like, but if it answers your question, do you take him there knowing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always gotta. I mean, you don't want to, because it mess. I mean, whatever. You know, I don't really care if it messes up the way that everything is structured in the.
Yeah.
But they're not going to take a player before you have to.
Right.
You know what I mean? In the NFL, they're not going to take somebody before they have to. And that's why you have all this these people throwing out these red herrings all the time on hey, this is they're really thinking about drafting this guy, you know, and next thing you know, you get a call like, hey, we'll trade you for this, we'll trade you for that, we'll give you this because, you know, and you trade back, and next thing you know, the Bears draft Mr. Trubisky. You know, it's it's one of those deals, man. You know, if you do your homework and you come prepared, you'll know. You should know. You put yourself in your organization in a position to win when it comes to the draft. But you do that by doing great in the free agency first. You know, so I don't think you go into free agency like, okay, I'm gonna go into free agency, but I understand that I'm gonna draft this guy, so I don't need no. Go into free agency and see what you have, what you can get in free agency, and then after you've done that, now, all right, now how does this reshape this red thumbtack in this line? Let's take this one out. All right, because we got a whole wall now, and let's readjust this wall to get ready for the draft.
We got to get the digital walls. Like, we need the red thumbtack. Like, you're not wrong. I feel like people are still using that method out there in the world. But how have we not come up with the Tony Stark wall where it's just like, yep, here.
Yeah. Yeah, the voice with the voiceover and everything.
Or is Ryan Poles in there with the Apple Pro glasses? Is he doing that and like everybody in the building's got them? And so there's just a bunch of dudes in the draft room doing this.
Yep.
Hey man, you got to be careful with that. You can't walk around Chicago with those things. Oh man, you might be throwing up gang signs on accident. You don't even know it. You got to be careful with those things out here, man. Well, let me ask you this, Lance, pertaining to the draft. We do have our segment sponsored by Toyota, the road to the draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places where now, Lance, you're on the clock. Ooh, my favorite part where we get to promote Lance Briggs. He gets a nice corner office. He's got an orange. Would you go orange suit jacket or would you go blue? I've seen some people do the orange and it scares me every time.
Blue.
You going blue? You going blue? That's a good call. Orange tie with the blue suit jacket, or no orange, or a little, maybe a little orange flower.
There'll be a little hints of orange in there.
Hints of orange is acceptable. I've seen people go full orange. It's scary. Orange is not a suit color, guy. Let it go.
Yeah, it's more of a linen shorts, outdoor, swim trunks.
Yeah,
you know, for some of you. Euro cut, you know, the Speedo.
Yeah, I was going to say, to some of our people who are a little more fit, you know.
They like the Speedo. They like the Euro cut.
Why do they always go bright Speedo? That is a valid question. It's like you're trying to bring our attention to the Speedo, and I don't like that either.
Listen, there are plenty of things that we've adopted that are Euro style. The Speedo goes too far.
You're not a Speedo guy, Lance.
No. Speedo goes too far. All right.
Have you tried a Speedo?
I think of meeting to beat the parents. Yeah. All that gum, he's just chewing like. That's my only option.
Have you ever tried the Speedo? Were you like, this isn't for me? Like, were you a Speedo guy at any point?
I tried a Speedo like outfit when I was in high school, and they were trying to get me to join the wrestling team.
Uh-huh.
And I went for maybe two practices, and then I asked the coach, I'm like, hey, do I have to wear this onesie? And he said, yes, for games. And I said, well, thanks a lot, coach. I will not be joining.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You had me nervous. I was like, the coach had y'all wrestling in Speedos? Like, I think that's a crime, dog. That's not the uniform. But
singlets.
The onesie. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Had me nervous there, Lance. I thought we were going to have to do an investigation here. But for our road to the draft brought to you by Toyota, Lance, with you as the GM, if you were going to target the defensive line in this draft, what are your top three schools?
Ooh. Top three schools?
Yeah, I'm not talking players. I'm talking schools.
Okay. Well, I mean, shoot, you got to start at the top. Teams that went to the national championship. So you got to throw Michigan in there.
Michigan's a dog.
In there. Shoot. You got to have an SEC team. You know, if you're talking the interior defensive tackles, I'm looking at a three technique. You know, you've got Georgia, you got your Alabama's, Ole Miss. You know,
who's number one out of those three right now? Who are you looking at? Number one, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss. Who's the top dog in that? There's some dogs out of all of them.
I know this one. You want to say Georgia? You want to say Georgia? But I don't think that their three technique is one of the top five right now. But you always gotta rock with Georgia. You know, Georgia's gonna put defensive players out there. And if you don't hit this year, you'll definitely hit the following year. You're gonna hit one of those two years. So Georgia's gotta be in that conversation.
So you got Michigan, you got Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Whew. This year, you can say, shoot, Florida State or Miami.
Ooh.
Florida State or Miami. I honestly think that Miami has a three technique that's in that top five category.
Ooh.
Florida State has a defensive end, Jared Verse, you know, that's in that top five category. So, you know, all of these guys, shoot, Alabama's got Dallas Turner. Wow. You know, so there's plenty of guys there, and it just really depends on what you can get and what your draft will allow you to have. So if you can get one of those guys, hopefully, you know, later in the first round or that nine pick, and then get the offensive tackle and be able to get both of those guys, that makes us very strong in the interior. We're strong in the interior. We're going to be dominant from our skill.
Yeah, and listen, it makes it a lot easier when you got time to throw to the guys that are running deep down the field. So you got Michigan, you got Georgia. Who'd you end up? Florida State? You rocking Florida State on that, or are you going Miami?
I'm gonna say that's tough. It's tough because I know there's a three technique right there in Miami, but Florida State, you know, over the last however many years, put out really dominant defensive guys. So, you know, on the strength of that, I'm gonna go with Florida State.
Yeah.
Go with Florida State. But those are probably the three teams right now off the top of my head, you know, with now that I'm gonna put out there.
Absolute dogs at all of those schools. it is some monsters out there. That's been your road to the draft, brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Who's been your favorite college player since you've stopped playing to watch?
Oh man.
Like one of those dogs where you were like, hey, listen, it's about to be a problem when he gets to the next level. And you saw it the second he was on the field.
Okay. This is a good question. This is a good one. I'm gonna go with Noah Fifita and McMillan. I'm gonna say T-Mac. Say T-Mac. I know I didn't say his name right.
What was it about that game that stood out to you?
You know, it's, you know, just watching, you know, Fifita's, his ice in his veins as a quarterback at the University of Arizona. Him and T-Mac played with each other in high school, you know, at Servite. Matter of fact, the top interior D lineman for Michigan, you know, number 55, the youngster, they all played together in high school.
Okay.
You know, it's a heck of a connection there, you know, and you can see why their squad in high school was so successful, you know,
state championships.
Yeah. You know, I mean, these guys were competing, these guys and watching them play, you know, they always find ways. Guys got, you know, T-Mac's got sticky hands. He's 6'4". He's a tall receiver, can move. He's great after the catch. And Fifita he's just cool as Joe Montana in the pocket. You know, and so for us Wildcats, you know, it's been a while since we've had a 10 win season, you know. So when you have players that lead you to 10 win seasons, that you take notice, and hopefully we continue to trend in that direction. But with leaders like them heading Arizona, I like our chances.
Hey, you got some dogs out there, man. They're getting a little sneaky out there now. I'm not going to lie. Is it? You know, I was watching Colorado a lot this season, so I got to see y'all as well. It was, you know.
Oh, yeah. It was a big win. That was a big win for us. You know, we needed that one. We needed that. It was part of our 10.
Whoo. Hey, Deion, you got your work cut out for you, dog. I ain't going to lie. I think Shadur is a dog, but got your work cut out for you.
Listen, that was, you know, the pack this past season was by far one of the toughest and most competitive conferences, you know, this past season. And it was fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, obviously a lot with you see the coaching movements that have happened since Saban left. And you have movement within the pack. It's fun, man. It's fun. It's entertaining. I'm just hope that wherever all the colleges go in this upcoming year, you know, they make a lot of noise in all of their conferences.
Man, football is going to be so different this year, dog. We got so many people who have been staples not in it anymore. No more Pete Carroll. No more Bill Belichick. Nick Saban retired. We just lost Peter King today. Like, we lost him. He's a writer. He's still alive. That sounded crazy.
Yeah,
he's
still
alive, guys. But he's retiring from writing.
Yeah.
And being the voice on NBC and all of that. Like, that's been my whole life. I can't even imagine football without these names in it. Like, this season is going to be so weird, college-wise, pro-wise, football breakdown-wise, because it's just like, all right, who's going to be the guy that's going to replace, in my mind, who's the greatest of all time at what they do? Peter King has been the voice of football pretty much since John Madden went down to me.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Now, you lose Peter King, all right, who's a legend, and you gain a Tom Brady.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
On the same year.
How much we going to get from Tom, though? Tom was supposed to be on TV last year, and Tom was like, hey, I'm not coming.
Listen, I've only heard a few things, you know. I don't get to hear everything that Tom says, but when he speaks, I'm glued.
Yes.
When he speaks, I'm glued. You know, so if there was a year that you had to, you have to lose an icon like a Peter King, it's bittersweet because you gain an icon like a Tom Brady.
I think what's interesting is, right, we really haven't seen in a long time where one of the greatest quarterbacks made this transition. Drew Brees has done it. But, you know, I mean, like, there's the GOAT and then there's Drew Brees, right? Drew Brees is an amazing quarterback. But like where the one of the best who dominated the game and everybody looked at him was like, no, he's the best player in the league right now. Like, goes to the media, like the mindset that has to, is he taking that mindset with him? Just like, well, now I'm just going to be the best media guy for the rest of my time here, which is, that would be like Tom Brady coming in is going to be one of the more entertaining. And because he's still close to the game, I think of like Romo that first year, where like everything was like, he was calling stuff out and he was like, oh, he's going to do this. Because he still was in the game. And then as it got further away, it was like, ooh.
I wouldn't be surprised if when Tom's son gets old enough that he even coach football.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised that he would even do that. You know, it's because it's connecting, man. It's number one, it's connecting. Yeah, and you're certainly a coach that's going to come in that people aren't going to question you.
You know you're going to get some dad to question, Lance. You've had some dad look at you and be like, well, Lance, wouldn't you want him to drop back here like this a little bit when you want to?
I mean, of course, parents probably certainly thinking that stuff, but there's things that a lot of parents, it's different. It's different. Like they... Parents have always approached me with respect, you know, and that's fine. And for me, it's about the why. So when they ask questions, I explain to them the why, you know, and so that, and that's the reason why I don't shy away from any of that stuff. Like, I want your question. I want you to question me in this sport of football, because when you question me in this sport of football, I'll always have the why for you.
Yeah.
The why. It's not going to be just because this is the way I want it to be done. That's never that, you know, and so. For Tom, if he decided to coach and any parent had any issue with what's going on, Tom's going to have the why right now. He's going to have the why for you, you know, and whether you can handle it whether you as a parent who thinks that your son or daughter is the next greatest thing ever, can you handle him, the coach giving you the why? And part of that why is saying that, you know, maybe your son or your daughter is not that doggone good right now. You know, they are in development right now.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think Tom gonna say they in development. Tom, I've heard Tom talk to somebody. Hey, Tom said he had the person who he was talking about in the story is in the NFL now, but I forget who the story was about. But Tom went back to his college and was like just throwing the ball around. He was throwing it with Wes. And like he thought, the guy thought everybody was just in the receiver line going out to catch passes. And Tom looked at him and said, "Get out the way, get out the way. I don't throw footballs to anybody's."
Right.
So it's just like I don't think Tom's gonna be very reserved. And what he's, oh, you believe that your son's drop back is not good enough, huh? Or is good enough right now, huh? Yeah, really. Well, let me tell you this about your son. He's not going to get out of high school. I hate to tell you this. He's destined for a life.
Oh, he's going to crush dreams, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, Tom is going to, and there's going to be some quarterback that he says it about that's going to like take it personally and become just purely amazing.
Absolutely. But so now if you say you're the school and you are like, oh, we have Tom Brady. But then you have a meeting. You're like, he's crushing everybody's dreams, right? Like, why don't we handle this? Like, we can't fire him. We don't pay him. You know, we're lucky to have him.
We've had 3 kids come in crying this week. We've had 4 kids go to baseball. they said Tom said they couldn't throw. They just started playing baseball. Oh, I'm telling you, dog. Tom Brady is not holding back on none of these. Because I guarantee you, you know he talked before, like Michigan went on a run with the team and stuff. Guarantee you he walked in them rooms and was like, now don't y'all go out there and disrespect my name out here. Like, wait a minute. Wait, Tom, hold on. I did this. I am Michigan. Y'all better get it right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man, it's wild out here, dog. I mean, we're losing Peter King, but like you said, we're gaining Tom Brady, and I think that is going to be an absolute addition to the sports world. And I can't wait to see what he's going to be as a broadcaster, man. I think, like you said, every time Tom talks, you can't help but stop and listen because you know he's saying something insightful. Listen, and I'll tell you one thing. Nobody's going to go after Tom Brady like they went after Cam Newton. I'll tell you that much. You know how many people it would take to pull Tom Brady off of something? It took 6 for Cam.
Listen.
What's going on out here, dog? Society podcast beefs is getting too real, dog.
They are. Listen, he handled his own.
Hey, yo.
Handled his own, I can tell you that much.
Somebody on Twitter said, I ain't never seen a reverse jumping where you try to jump somebody and you end up being the one getting beat up at the end.
Yeah. That's wild, man.
It was wild because it's at a kid's camp. He's trying to do something for the kids. He invites the trash talk. So y'all going back and forth. And then you take it to a level it doesn't ever need to be taken to.
Right.
And you got whooped. Like Cam Newton had one dude in the headlock. He was holding one dude by the throat. And like he was bowing another guy that was walking like... Here's my thing,
but you know, at the same time, exactly what you just said. Like this is for the kids, man. This is for the kids, and you disregarded that.
Yeah, like,
your issue was bigger than the kids.
Yeah, now,
you made it about yourself, you know, and your beef that you have with Cam Newton, as opposed to you know. Listen, let me see you at the coffee shop or somewhere if we can handle our stuff like men, but. We're creating, like we're setting a horrible example for our community.
Yeah, and that's what killed me. It's like, fam, you don't see this at Drew Brees camps. You don't see this at Tom Brady camp. You don't see this at Peyton Manning camps. Like,
come on, man.
Cam is giving something to our community. He's giving a spotlight to our kid. This is something that Justin Fields took part in. You have to think about that. Like, this is something where he was not on the map. Justin Fields was a good quarterback, but he was not on the map until he went to Cam Newton's camps.
Right.
That's the kind of platform Cam is bringing to y'all cities. And because Cam gives y'all the trash talk energy that y'all give him, now we swing it. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys. Yeah. And you got whooped. Don't lose the fight.
It's true.
Don't do all that just to be on video losing the fight to one man.
Boys, they were trying. They looked like the pygmy tribe against the Rock that was brown on that movie. Boom, hitting them, swinging around. It's boom. It was like, all right.
Here's my thing. You watched Cam Newton take Auburn to a national championship with basically like one offensive lineman that ended up making the NFL. You watched him go to a Super Bowl, pretty much putting that team on his back with Ted Ginn as his best receiver. And you thought three people were going to stop him?
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't have thought that.
Hey, they probably thinking it now. They're probably like, why did we think that? What happened with that? Oh man, it's a while. I think society's gotten too comfortable with the keyboard ways. And then they have to prove whatever they was talking about when you get in person. Because I think about even the KD situation where over the weekend, somebody calls him outside his name. KD confronts him. And now all of a sudden it's, oh, man, we didn't mean nothing by that. We didn't mean, like, what are you? And there's a section of people that literally live in the, well, he gets paid millions of dollars. He should be bigger than that.
Yeah.
That don't mean nothing. That's a grown man. You calling him outside his name, like
very, very true.
I don't know.
True, my friend.
I don't know. But hey, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast in the tank for you guys. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Just know if you see us in public, don't try it. appreciate you guys for showing.
Please don't, man. Listen, this is a different chapter of my life, man.
Hey, but it's nothing to reread the book. Yeah, you know what I mean, it's nothing.
I'm about peace and prosperity, baby. Peace and prosperity. But but that right hook is always cocked and loaded now.
For Lance Briggs, the heavyweight champ, it's your boy Matt the Designer, back at it again. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago Bear. Die. Peace.